You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and Rick, we have with us as a returning guest on the line, Dr. Wayne Beasley, who is the owner of the Cedar Creek Veterinary Clinic out in Williamston. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Beasley.
Hey, thanks you guys for having me. I always enjoy being on your show.
Oh, it's always our pleasure to have you. Dr. Beasley, the topic we're dealing with today is snakes. What kind of ailments do people typically have with snakes that you treat, and what kind of things should they expect to have to deal with?
Well, most of the snakes that come in are primarily suffering from inadequate husbandry. Mm-hmm. The snakes, of course, have been around for so many, many years out in the wild that they have great immune systems. They've got fantastic digestive tracts. They can go long periods of time without water, some species that is. But if we put them in a captive environment, those snakes aren't able to move and get to a place of higher humidity if they need it. They can't get to a warmer area if they need it. They can't necessarily get to a cooler area. So the problem that we see is that involving the captive environment. Luckily, as years have gone by, products have become available and our knowledge has increased so that now we can offer temperature zones inside the cages. We can offer the snakes different types of humidity levels. We can offer them the proper foods. And luckily with snakes, they tend to eat whole animals, which makes nutrition much easier. You don't have to worry about, am I giving the snake enough calcium, or am I giving the snake, enough B vitamins and that kind of thing, because they eat whole animals. Their nutrition is fairly straightforward. But we see primarily, I would say, shedding problems with snakes. Snakes need to shed their skin rapidly, or should I say more often as a young growing snake. And then as an adult, it's maybe a once or twice a year phenomenon where the snake actually will grow a new skin underneath its old skin, and then the old skin just sort of splits, starting at the face, and the snake crawls out of it, much as you would take your sock off, and you'll find these long snake sheds. But some snakes, if they're not in the proper environment, they can't get that skin off.
Yeah, maybe humidity, things like that, right?
Yep, humidity and stuff like that. So I'd say, the skin issues are one, and then respiratory problems would be next in line for snakes because, their respiratory system is dependent upon having the proper temperature so that their immune system works properly and the proper humidity so that their respiratory secretions don't dry out too much.
And one of the things I'm thinking of when you're talking is that once knowledge is handed to the customer and the customer actually, or the person that's interested in keeping one of these animals in captivity, once knowledge is handed over, maybe three plugs and the proper bedding and the appropriateness to maintaining that environment, it's a relatively easy animal to keep, would it not be?
It is so easy, yes. A lot of people will have, if you have a large collection of snakes, you can actually devote an entire room to the snakes and keep the entire room heated at like an optimum temperature for them as far as what their minimum optimum temperature would be, and then you can have little zones of extra heat, and people can maintain an amazing number of snakes just because they, they only eat like once every 7 to 10 days. They go to bathroom only once every 7 to 10 days. So it's fairly easy to keep a good-sized collection.
And it seems like you probably know better than I, or at least as well, most snakes that are in captivity are actually raised and bred in captivity. A fair assessment?
Oh, yeah, and that has been such a boom to the reptile industry. Imported snakes are stressed. A lot of them have parasites like mites or intestinal worms, whereas captive-raised snakes, very rarely will we see any parasites on them, maybe a mite or two here and there, but these bad like liver flukes and lung worms and stuff like that, we don't see those anymore.
Pardon me for sounding or being kind of like throwing you a lob on volleyball, but the reality is, I think people explain a little bit. Do people connect with and are they attached to and do they love a snake?
People that I interact with, I think the best way to sum it up is that a snake, if you are the type of person that can stand, can get close to that snake, look at it closely, it's like a living piece of art that moves, it breathes, and it interacts. You can't get a snake to come to you if you call it, and a snake's not going to come to you like a puppy or kitten wanting affection. But to be able to handle something so beautiful and shiny and just intricate colors and the way the scales fit together on the around the eyes and on the face, the way that little tongue comes out and flicks, they're absolutely fascinating. And it's just, you got to think of it, it's like a moving, living piece of art. And if you can really, you know, cause yourself to focus in closely on the detail of that snake, you'll find out why so many people find them amazing pets.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, in some ways, the relationship one would have with a snake needs to be somewhat unselfish. You know, if we think about a yeah. dog or a cat, it's kind of what can it do for me? And
right.
in the case of any of the individuals that have snakes and reptiles in general, it seems like a different part of that person comes out, and they are throwing themselves at the reptile and trying to create its environment and what it needs and how it needs it. You know, would that be a fair assessment?
Oh yeah, I think we all long to want to make a difference. We want to have our actions mean something, and if you can give a snake everything that it needs, so that it you know, it's shedding, it's eating, it just looks as beautiful as it would in the wild. And then some people go for that ultimate goal of trying to get them to breed and to hatch their own baby snakes. And it's just, you can really get caught up in the hobby. And it's something that I like to do, is surround myself with people that are excited about the hobby, that are breeding snakes and developing new color morphs and stuff like that. It's really fascinating.
That's excellent.
Dr. Beasley, when it comes to snake personalities and intelligence, how would you compare them to other animals?
Well, you can't really box the snake personality into one. Some snakes, like the racers, they are almost impossible to keep in captivity. They are such a wired snake. I mean, you open the tank box and boink, it jumps out like a jack-in-the-box, you know?
Jack-in-the-box, right.
Yep, and then they, you know, they might traumatize their face on the cage, constantly trying to get out. You know, that's a snake that would, you know, maybe crawl several miles a day in the wild looking for food. They're just not suited to being pets. Other snakes like corn snakes, ball pythons, boa constrictors, those are sedentary snakes, snakes that spend most of their time hiding except when they're looking for food. Those types of snakes do real well in captivity because 90-something percent of their time is spent hiding in small, enclosed areas. And those snakes do real well in captivity. So their behavior is totally different than a racer, so a racer-type snake. So you really have to shop around and get the snake that has a nice, calm personality that fits your personality. Some people like snakes that are active, and they give them a huge enclosure and develop almost like a zoo exhibit in their house, basically around their snakes.
And I would imagine, you know, one, you could walk into a store like ours where there's lots of attendants that are willing to give that information, but the Internet's changed that a lot, too. I mean, individuals can learn the kind of environment that these animals have. It almost seems as if there is no excuse not to do it right. Would that be a fair assessment?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can just Google any type of snake and you can print up care sheets. They got, you know, methods for setting up their tank, how to heat it from above and below, different types of humidity systems that will actually put a fog into the tank, you know, make it like a, sure. Just a super foggy day so that snake can get exposed to high humidity periodically if it needs it.
Right. It sounds like the industry is coming a long way when it comes to care, and we really appreciate the insight you've given us this morning. We've been speaking with Dr. Wayne Beasley, who is the owner of the Cedar Creek Veterinary Clinic out in Williamston. Thank you so much, Dr. Beasley.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me, and have a good day now. Bye-bye.
You as well. Thanks. And Rick, once again, we've just run out of time, so on behalf of our producer, Mark Price, and my co-host in the studio, Rick Pruse. This is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend and a great week ahead. We'll talk with you next weekend for the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show right here on 1320 WILS. And please, please, take good care of your pets. Have a great weekend, everybody.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear our show live online. Go to 1320wils.com and click on the Listen Live link. Got some ideas, suggestions, questions? Email us at mmpets@1320wils.com. Join our Facebook page at Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. You can upload your own pictures, make comments, and interact with other pet enthusiasts.